Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
He covers the Chiefs.
With that, time's yours.
And you're in that place where you're in the playoffs.
He covers the Royals.
Flair, over there in the middle, on the left.
Salvador, just take us through your emotions.
He covers college sports.
But one great thing about the conference tournament, where I think it gives teams hope.
And every now and then, he likes a good laugh.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
He's Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star on the program.
Yes, the happiest beginning to segment each and every week is Blair Kirchhoff. He joins us live right now at Rockin' Brews inside the Prairie Fire. A great spot to come down and watch you some NCAA tournament. We're going to be tipping the first game here in just a little bit. Minnesota and Louisville will be the opener. NCAA could have done a little bit better than that dog.
Well, how about Murray State Marquette? Would that not have been the great kickoff
two
game?
Two great guards going toe-to-toe.
Yes, great individual matchup.
That's the 3:30 game, which a lot of people won't even see. I mean, the early games and the night games, the one that is in the middle kind of gets lost in the, in the shuffle to a lot of people.
Because some people are cowards and go back to work.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I'm not saying. I'm just saying if you go back to work, you're kind of a coward. Is what I'm getting at.
On this day.
Someone asked me today before I left to come over here. They said, you coming back to the station after the show? And I looked at him for like 10 seconds with this look of. And then just turned and walked away.
That was me, Curtis.
You deserve nothing but. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you deserve nothing but scorn, sir, for even suggesting I would return to work today.
No, I'm not going back to work. Coming back into the office? No. No, I'm not coming into the office. What are you, insane?
And not tomorrow either.
Yeah. Forget it. I'm done.
It is the program. We are live and on the road at Happy Hour inside the Rockin' Brews restaurant inside the Prairie Fire Development. Great spot to come watch you some NCAA tournament action. All day long is Happy Hour. That means half price on all 53 tap handles. Listen, if you can't find a tap that you're interested in, you just ain't trying. I mean, you got 53 choices.
I'd like to see how they arrange those kegs behind those taps.
I would too.
That is quite the wall there.
Appetizers, they got a bunch of them for just $5, so you can enjoy that and get yourself down here. We're going to be tipping some basketball here very, very soon inside the Rockin' Brews. And, of course, do not forget the most important part, their incredible made-from-scratch menu. The food is absolutely fantastic. Great atmosphere, cool place, great food, great people. Here at Rockin' Brews inside the Prairie Fire. So we'd love to see you join us here this afternoon.
You know how great this place is? Look how early the most respected Iowa State fan in the world is.
I know.
Fire Captain Gary.
Yeah.
They don't play till tomorrow night.
he wants a seat right now.
It's 8:50 Friday. He's here ready to rock.
Yeah.
Ready to Rockin' Brews.
It's a little bit I hope he's got 48 off or something. You know?
Yeah, that'd be good.
He's setting up shop right here, you know, with a 48 on, 72 off, something like that. You're early, man. Your game's not till tomorrow. You getting your seat now?
On his way to the game.
Very nice.
Right down.
Well done.
Blair, good to see you, Gary. Take care of yourself, buddy. Blair, what do you think's at stake for the Big 12 in this tournament?
I think there's a little bit of house money going on with the Big 12 this year based on the seeding. You know, it's only the second time in the history of the league that there's not a one or a two seed. So Texas Tech at three is the highest, and then you got a couple fours. So the expectation based on seeding isn't great for this team for the Big 12. Unlike last year, last year was a fantastic tournament for the conference. I mean, with Texas Tech and K-State and Iowa State or West Virginia and KU all getting to the Sweet 16 and then Elite Eight, three of them, Final Four for KU. I'll tell you what, to me there's a chance for the Big 12 to make the type of noise it doesn't usually make in the NCAA tournament and win, beat teams with better seeds. That the Big 12 doesn't have a history of that.
Right.
It doesn't have a history of getting to the Final Four beyond, you know, Kansas every handful of years. So maybe this is a year you could – every year we talk about the Final Four having, you know, 1-1 and a couple of twos and a six, or a one and two ones and so on. The Big 12's never not one of never one of those teams that's, you know, a four seed or a six seed or a seven seed that gets mm-hmm. to the Final Four.
Right.
Maybe this is the year for that. Maybe they get the right bracket and they get the upset, so the bracket will collapse on them, and a Tech or a K-State or even a, you know, even Kansas or Iowa State can catch fire.
Even last year, K-State making the great run, the Elite Eight is the nine. They don't get really the credit because they beat the 16.
They beat the 16.
Cinderella. They beat Kentucky. That was the big win over the four seed.
And then they lose to an 11 for the chance to get to the Final Four. And listen, that was a wonderful story, and it had a local flavor with Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson with Loyola. But that was a golden opportunity for Kansas mm-hmm. State to knock down the door and get to the Final Four, and it didn't happen. For, you know, for the other teams last year, West Virginia, Texas Tech, you know, they had to go through Villanova, and Villanova was just playing great at the end of the year.
Yeah.
When's that Big 12 team going to play great on that weekend, on that Sweet 16 weekend, and win two games and get to the
Final
Four? Why
don't they? What's the reason behind it?
Well,
lack of talent is my –
yes.
Mine.
I mean, that's all it can be.
I think they out-coach their talent, and they go win games. And I think part of the reason why their RPI is good is because they got veteran guys that aren't getting drafted, you know, out. So you got juniors and seniors. They're ready to win early, and the SEC and the ACC get beat by them in some of these non-con games, and then their kids grow up. We know that freshman year they grow in leaps and bounds, and I'm watching these Kentucky teams. And by the time you get to the tournament, the dudes have now grown up and got enough games under them. They got 30 games under their belt, and they're ready to go out and ball. And so Big 12 teams get, you know, go from a 70 on a scale of 100 to a 76 by the end of the year. SEC teams with all this NBA talent started at 55 and lose, but by the end of the year they're a 90.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that the coaching in the Big 12 is terrific, and they've got veterans and Hall of Famers and college basketball Hall of Famers and, you know, 800-win guys and guys that have been to Final Fours and all this. And I think that their ability to coach their teams up in November and December, you know, and that's why the Big 12 has the one or two RPI every single year, because they win those non-conference games against the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten. But then they knock each other silly during the conference play. And then by the end, I agree that the talent isn't the same. And that's okay. I mean, that's explainable. The talent source isn't as great in this part of the country as it is, especially on the East. Look at where the national champions have come from, just as far back as we can count, really. Go all the way back to Kansas and start counting or start listing where the national champions come from, and they're all Eastern time zone schools. It's all Carolina, Villanova, Duke, UConn,
Kentucky,
UConn. Those are the schools that win it. That's where the bulk of the talent is.
The only exception is UCLA 95.
95 and Arizona 97. 97, Kansas in 08.
Yeah. Other than that.
Yep. You know, Gonzaga had a shot a couple years ago. And he had Oregon in the Final Four too. That was a great Final Four for West of the Mississippi basketball. And Oregon beat Kansas to get there. So you had.
But who won it?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. It was North Carolina that won it. And South Carolina was the seventh seed that got to the Final Four that year, beat Florida in the East Final. So it's a numbers game, right? And the numbers are that part of the country.
I am impressed at the SEC, and I always think back because I thought it was such a bold statement by Mike Slive, where he's like, our basketball programs have to get better. I mean, who says that these days, right? Andy Reid stands at a podium and tells you his 31st-ranked defense is good. You know, they're all like politicians. Debt? What debt? We have no debt. What problem with our defense? What are you talking about? No, we have no problem with our defense. Everybody in sports is like some lying politician acting like everything going on with them is great. Mike Slive stood there as the SEC commissioner and said, our basketball program's got to get better. And U schools need to get better.
And they did. And they did. They went out and hired coaches.
Oh, amazing when you actually manage something right. And have expectations.
And raise the bar.
You can actually go somewhere. Such a novel concept instead of lying and claiming to win no matter what place you finish.
I'll tell you how smart Mike Slive was. When he said that, the SEC network hadn't been announced yet. He knew that was the inventory that was going to carry the SEC network in many months, right? You needed decent you couldn't have crap basketball on in January, February, and nobody would watch it, right? You had to have better basketball because that was going to be the programming, the live programming that network needed to command the dollars that it got. And that's what's happened. It's not every year, but it's gotten better. SEC basketball has clearly gotten better.
Well, I think that's what, to me, is at stake for the SEC, is a chance to really grab a stranglehold. I mentioned how the ACC has stepped on their turf with Florida State and Clemson, two titles, with Florida State won. Three of the last six football titles have been by the ACC. The SEC needs to steal some of that back. It'd be a great time for the SEC to go get a win. There were three ACC teams were one seeds. Yeah, and an SEC team won.
Yeah, Tennessee won it.
Yeah, Tennessee won it.
Yeah.
Stick it, okay? Yeah, that'd be a great back at you. From the conferences. Rudy wants no part of hearing anything about Tennessee. He wants it all to just be Kentucky. But there is an element. Florida was the one that gave them kind of an ACC flavor of, yes, we have Kentucky's a great program. Florida can win championships as well. If Tennessee is now there, if they win it, that adds to what all is going on. So
Florida was the program that proved to me that you can have a national championship in football and basketball. If the
Syracuse didn't in 03. To go with our 1959 football championship?
Florida did it in the same academic year.
I know.
Which was amazing in the 06-07. I've always maintained there's only a handful of schools where that seems possible, right? Ohio State's one, Michigan, the few in the SEC.
You'd where, like to say Texas, but
you would, especially
since they
fund their sports so that all their programs can win national championships. But it's a desire thing too. It's fan based demand. You know, is the sport important enough for the fans to demand the excellence, the right coach, the right the right recruits? I mean, is the fan base going to back it? And in most football centric schools, it isn't that way. You know, you get through basketball season, and in some basketball central schools, as I look to the west. Look at what football is.
Well, we ran this down when we were doing our Big 12 and SEC coach rankings yesterday. You like that? The smell
wafting
on Curtis's spicy Asian eggs.
That's just a piece of artwork right there.
Strong.
My goodness.
She couldn't wait for a commercial break to bring those over.
You should have seen the look he gave Rudy, and Rudy's like, hey, I'll get our orders together. The guys said Kyle's going to come by and get our order. What do you want, Curtis? Do you want the spicy Asian wings? And Curtis just looked at him like,
duh.
You an idiot or what, man? No, but here's what I think that they carry forward in the SEC, which I think is impressive. National recruiting class rankings right now in the SEC. Kentucky 2, Georgia 6, Florida 10, Auburn 17, Alabama 19, Tennessee 30.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
A&M 32. We'll see what happens now that Kennedy's gone. Vanderbilt 34. So, you know, we talk about how good they are in football, but they've got eight in the top 35.
I did not know that. I didn't know Georgia had. I didn't
five in the top 20.
I didn't know Crean had a
Crean, he's got one kid that's – he's got two, like, 90-somethings, and he's got number three in the country who's from Atlanta. Hmm. So that's why I caution everybody about overrating Crean in our coaching rankings. Because I'm like, there's not going to be a top five kid coming out of Atlanta every year.
Right.
So, but you know what? It's like, hey, Drew Locke is having his pro day today. And Missouri's getting all kinds of exposure because he's throwing the ball and doing everything. And it's not every year that you can have an NFL first-round pick coming out of Kansas City. But when you do, you better keep him in Missouri.
And not only keep him in Missouri, but...
And Tom Crean kept this kid in Georgia.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what's happening. But, yeah, but exploit it. I mean, it's cash in on this with the exposure that Missouri's getting with this. That's really neat for Drew and for Missouri's football program.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a break here. We'll come back with Blair. I want to talk more about what's at stake for Roy Williams which I think there's a tremendous amount at stake for Roy Williams. We'll do that next here in the program.
The program on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Tavern End of the Hour answer. Two teams have scored.
By the way,
at
perfect,
least.
Perfect tune.
Oh, yeah.
For being a rock and blues.
Oh, absolutely. Immigrant song.
Yeah, can't beat absolutely. It, I can't see in the sun. Is Blair on? There, yeah, now you're on, Blair.
This is a little tough to do. Yeah, here we are.
I think you are. Say something, Blair.
Curtis,
yeah,
I,
you're on.
I had one of your carrots when you were away.
You have the carrots. That's in wings.
You'll lose a finger if you try to have one of his wings, so I'll tell you that right now.
Put an end to that real quick.
All right, you were saying.
Two teams have scored at least 95 points in their tournament opener. Name either one.
I don't think Roy Williams has probably done it at Carolina or Kansas.
In their tournament opening?
Like opening round game?
Opening round game. Now, that could also be a play-in game. First game of that they played in the tournament, 95-plus.
Well, Roy plays up-tempo. UNLV used to run and gun. Billy Tubbs in Oklahoma. Loyola Marymount are all things that come to mind for me.
Florida Gulf Coast, 96, against Fairleigh Dickinson in 2016. Kansas State, 95, against Wake Forest in 2017. I'm looking at this is from official Final Four records book. It says opening round slash first four records.
That's the play-in games.
Why wouldn't it just say first four?
Yeah,
because it
wasn't
first four.
The name four times.
Because it wasn't first four did it.
And made it as difficult as possible to figure out what the hell anyone's talking about.
There's games from 1984 on this list.
There was.
Well, that was because that was before
you had an even 64. Bracket. Before you had an even bracket.
That's right, when they had 25 teams,
so that
30
question
teams.
Sucks, Curtis.
It does.
I'm going to let you know right now, that thing sucks.
It was a dud. I will be the first to admit that.
You know what? I mean, you think we ask you to come up with 15 good questions a week. 15. Is that so hard?
Well, this one was like, all right, we're back. 30 seconds. No, 6 seconds here. End of the hour question.
Curtis
opening round.
Show
record
killer.
Book. Hey, there's Kansas State. I think I'll put them into a.
Just give back to your wings.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Should.
You've been useless.
That was the plan all along, I think.
I've got sweet and spicy Asian wings in front of me, and Rush is on the TV.
Yeah.
With a little closer to the heart. So.
It is. With only the one game we've got, a little Rush in between Minnesota and Louisville. The Gophers, 8-7. It's over. Wrap it up.
First upset.
Yep. Ball game. First upset. There it is. The 10 seed. Commanding 8-7 lead over
1-point lead and the ball. I don't see how Louisville comes back on this one.
Is it okay for me to not? It's Rich, right? Rich Pitino?
Yeah, Richard Pitino, yeah.
Is it okay for me to not like him for no reason? Is that all right? I mean, I feel.
Defendable.
You know, I'll go to Mass Sunday and ask for atonement. You know, it's
just by proxy.
You do. A lot of guilt, a lot of forgiveness in the Catholic faith. So, but I'm just being honest, Blair. Is it okay for me to just not like the guy for no reason?
Just. Because his name is Pitino? Is
that That's a lot of it. And he kind of looks like a weaselier version of his dad.
He's been on the hot seat a few times as the Golden Gophers coach.
Oh, he's done so much better than Tubby Smith, who they ran off for this guy. I mean, two nail-biter tournament appearances around some NITs has been his tenure at Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy to win at Minnesota. They went to a Final Four back in, what?
97.
Yeah, and then promptly went on probation for it.
Yeah.
The Clem Haskins team.
Bobby Jackson.
Yeah. Bobby Jackson was the star. Yeah, they came.
The whole squad was on the take.
DC,
the first and second round, I think.
Came
through Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, but I look at him, I'm like, he looks like a weasel.
He definitely has a punchable face. There's some people just have that face. You're like, you know what? I don't necessarily want to punch him, but if somebody did, I think I'd probably back their play. Who'd you punch? That guy right there. Yeah, I can see it. As you were. I cannot object.
So what we're saying is we support just unsolicited violence here in the program.
I'm not going to do it, but if you felt like it, I'd be hard-pressed to prove you're wrong.
Here's the other thing. The rest of the hair on his head can just move along because – it's just, let's get to it. I know where this movie's going. I know how it's going to end. So just let's hurry the process. That's also part of it. Bad mom.
You're holding back a boulder on a steep hill, buddy. Let it go.
Just, you know, he may be the nicest guy on earth. I assume not, based on the lineage.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, no, I'm not rooting for him. You know, I like Chris Mack. I've interviewed Chris Mack a number of times at the Final Four. Probably never will again now that he's at Louisville. He doesn't need me anymore. But when he was at Xavier, he'd sit down all the time, and he was great to talk to. And he was just you know, I learned so much from just hearing him talk about how he recruits at Xavier and the league and where it is. I think he's a fascinating guy. And you know what? And he's just – it's gone. The hair's gone.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
That's right. That's right.
You know? It's like – and then you got over here, like, what are you doing, Rich? What is this?
Stop it.
Stop with that up there. Let's take care of that mess thing that's going on your head. All right, Blair Kirkhoff is with us. What did I say we'd get to? Did I have a point? Probably not.
I always screw things up.
No, you didn't. Well, your question sucked.
Yeah, that's what got us off track.
Yeah, but no, I had a point where I wanted to go with Blair next. Oh, Roy. With Roy, right? Was that what it? Jed, thank you. Jed's the only guy not surrounded in a great buffalo chicken sandwich, fish tacos. By the way, the Baja beer batter fish tacos are great. You know what? Curtis brought this up on the wings. Just another thing about Rock and Brews, where we are today. Inside Prairie Fire, come on down and watch some basketball. It's happy hour all day long. Half price on all 53 taps. You hear me, Cook? I know you're coming by. Come on by. When I give you that price, I know my buddy Jason will be here. Half price on the taps. And then $5 apps. So come on down and join us here at Rockin' Brews. The NCAA tournament is off and running, and it's on the screens here at Rockin' Brews. Jed is the only one who can remain focused because he's not surrounded by all this cool stuff. He's back at the office just looking at himself in the glass.
Yeah, it's pretty
fun.
So he's
a little sour.
Back here with the interns, man. I'm having the time of my life.
Put the interns in the studio. Have put some headsets on, and they can sit there in front of the mic and feel like they're about ready to go.
This is Jed's internal dialogue the entire time. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up.
Did I mention shut up? Yes, Roy Williams. Think about what's at stake for Roy Williams in this tournament. As a one seed and is a guy who could win it, one of these three one seeds, he's got three national titles, and we talked about it with Gary Parrish. We've talked about it with you. We talked about it for you for a long time, about the difference between one title and two, how far that takes you up. And two to three really weeds it. He's already at three. It's what? Him, Jim Calhoun, John Wooden.
Krzyzewski.
Coach K and Adolph Rupp, right?
Yep, that's it.
Five guys have won three or more. Roy's already in that mix. You go to four, it's Coach K, it's Rupp.
Rupp and Wooden.
And Wooden.
Yeah, yeah, and Knight's on the list with three, too.
Knight's, yeah. So you go up to four, and now also, if he wins, he will have played in the championship game three of the last 4 years, won it two of the last 4 years, and Gary Parrish brought up the fact that since Roy came back to the ACC, he's won or shared nine league titles. Coach K has three.
Wow, I didn't realize the disparity was that great. That's impressive. No, look, since Roy has been back with the 03-04 season, right, because that was Self's first year at Kansas, that in that time, Duke just has the one, right, in 2010? No, two, 2010 and 2015.
Yeah.
10 and 15. So those are the only two with multiple, unless UConn won two in that stretch.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, all right. But Carolina's got three. And
Florida.
Florida has two. That's right, 06, 07. But Carolina leads that list with three. But I think Krzyzewski has the reputation, probably still has a greater reputation than Roy does.
Right. But this will put him knocking at Coach K's door.
But for Krzyzewski, it's the five national titles, but it's also the USA basketball, the gold medals. That he is seen as maybe the greatest basketball coach in the world today.
And I'm fine with that. My point is, though, particularly if he wins it this year, he would have gone presumably through or would have done certainly better than this Duke team that's supposedly the heavy favorite.
That's right.
he would have bested the best again.
Andy, look, I don't know what they are head-to-head while Roy's been at North Carolina. I imagine it's pretty even. I don't know what the record is, but, yeah.
I'd have Curtis look it up, but I don't want his wing-stained fingers
there is no
getting
way.
Near his new computer.
There is no
so
way.
So we'll just let him continue to play the role of the large carnivore that's standing next to me while you and I talk basketball. You love how he's just like, screw it, I'm out, I'm going wingies.
He went to the next wing.
Yeah.
Carrots are still in place, though, I noticed, and the celery.
He's not a man. He's an eating machine.
There we go. Dude, I can get carrots anywhere. I can't get these wings anywhere over here. Take care of the priorities.
Kirkhoff's gone.
Yeah, he is. He's going all Frank Bowl on us.
Just checked out. Dude, you're done?
I'm messing around.
Good Lord. You didn't even touch the ranch. You just went straight at it.
You don't need ranch for these things. That's the thing. That's why they're so good. You don't need dipping sauce. It's just, the ring itself is fantastic.
There are like 7 or 8 poor little bones just sitting in that tray. Crushed.
Man, we didn't even know what hit us. I had no chance.
You crushed that faster than I could break down Roy.
True that.
That's from? That's The Simpsons when Homer was suing the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet.
Oh, that's right.
Does this look like
a man who's had all he can eat? Bring the guy up there. This is not a man. He's an eating machine. Best.
Okay, Roy versus.
He's sitting there snacking and eating. Does this look like a man who's had all he can eat? Best. I haven't watched The Simpsons in a long time, but when I did, that was like maybe my all-time favorite. They sue because he didn't get all he could eat. The best. Anyway, yes.
The other point to make about Roy and Coach K is Coach
God
K,
bless you for bringing it back. By the way,
nice work.
Had about a 12-year head start in his head coaching career too. I mean,
yeah.
He was at Army and then Duke and. What, 81, 82 or so? But
I just think it's amazing because right now you don't think of, like, Roy being the dominant guy in college basketball.
You don't.
Because Jay Wright's got 2 of the last 3. And then Coach K is the top dog. And Roy's just kind of there.
Spreads his out. I mean, his, you know, he won 05, 09, 17. They've been scattered. You know.
Yeah.
And until that run in 16, 17 there, that it looked like it was, has it passed
yeah,
him by.
Yeah, that's right.
We were almost a decade removed from his last great team.
It's just a small thing, but when it was during that time that you just mentioned, Curtis, that they were putting together the field for the Champions Classic, you know, Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, and Michigan State, and I remember thinking, it makes sense to have Duke and not North Carolina in this thing. Duke is really that's the program in the ACC, not Carolina, and, you know, and now you couldn't have 2 teams from the same conference, but it was interesting to me that they chose Duke at that time over North Carolina, and there was that was the perception, you know, 7-8 years ago when that.
Well, here's his record starting. He was 32-6 in 2012, and then 25-11, 24-10, and 26-12. Those were the 3 years that preceded the national title loss to Villanova, where they were lost third round, which is second round. I mean, lost in his
first weekend.
First 32, round of 32, 2 straight years, and then that regional semifinal. So that's a sweet 16.
And everybody was talking like, well, Roy's done.
He's toast. Yeah. And then back-to-back national title games and losing one of them on, you know, he was right there to win back-to-back leagues.
And wasn't when he was down, wasn't that when the academic scandal was really flaring up? What year did that really flare up?
I don't think the awareness of the academic scandal didn't hit until maybe 15 or 16.
Okay.
The years we're talking about here are 11, 12, 13.
The 3 double-digit losses were 13, 14, 15.
Okay, maybe it was. 13 was the one they lost to Kansas here in Sprint Center.
Mm-hmm.
He was mad about coming to Sprint Center that year, having to play, even though he was an 8-9, having to play Kansas and Kansas City. Well, he's really going to be ticked off. He gets here.
Oh, God.
That's a 1-4 game, and Kansas is in there.
So. Dad gum.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he'll drop a few dad gums then.
Yeah.
Maybe even more.
Maybe even something a little more serious than a dad gum.
He doesn't give a blank.
Flip.
Yeah. That's what he'll say. All right, we'll take a break. More NCAA Tournament Talk with Blair Kirkhoff next here in the program.
The Program, weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810.
We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by my friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com. Thanks to all the guys and gals. I don't want to forget Brooke, who showed my mom all the features in the car. That was a painstaking process, one that was done with much love and effort by the nice young lady, Brooke, who was going over time and time again how to turn the thermostat on.
Press the button. That's kind of a nice crossover.
I thought the patience that was shown was
very nice. Yes. Talk about your customer service.
That's right.
It
was.
On-off switch.
It was. Yes, they were great. We're at Rockin' Brews. Great place to come watch some NCAA tournament basketball. As we're off and running, Minnesota leads Louisville 23-19. 5 minutes to go in that one. The Gophers up 4. LSU 9-0 lead on Yale.
On several upset special pick of Yale.
Yeah.
Not mine. I had LSU. But
I had Yale because I'm like, how much can LSU be into this game with all the turmoil that's going on there? But that's looking not wise right now.
Well, and I think there's an interpretation. You know, they lost to Florida in the SEC title game. Or not the title game, but semifinal, was it? Or quarter? I can't remember what. Yale is LSU is dysfunctional now. And but Florida's just a bad matchup for LSU. Beaten them in the regular season a couple weeks earlier. And I liked LSU's athleticism against Yale in this game. But next round, I forgot who they.
Next round will be Belmont.
Belmont, which
according
is,
to my bracket, but most people would have it be Maryland.
Yes.
I've got Belmont.
Oh, I do, too. I do, too. I think Belmont's good enough to win twice. Great offense. And we always talk about defense this time of year. You better have a great offense, too.
Yeah.
You better be able to shoot the ball.
On the more offense than defense is what generally has been deciding. And by the way, Roy 16-20 against
K
at North Carolina.
Really?
Four times he has won the season series, including each of the last two. Six times he's lost the season series.
Okay.
Well, how often do they play three times, or is he sweeping them?
The last three they've played three times.
Yeah, okay. So ACC tournament.
Yeah. And 2011
never played in the NCAA tournament. And some speculation will happen this year, right? Two 1 seeds.
That'd be you know, fun final to watch.
Yeah, it would be.
All right. We're talking to Blair Kirkhoff, as I mentioned here in the program. What do you think of Kansas and Kansas State? Do you have them? They're a popular national pick to get upset.
Yeah. I think Kansas has the better matchup than Kansas State does. I think Irvine, I'll tell you, I guess I didn't think about this when the pairings were announced, but in the next couple of days, K-State played Irvine last season during the regular season.
71-49.
Yeah, handled them. So maybe there's something to take from that. But Irvine's pretty good. I got to see some of their championship game, their conference championship game, and that game was over like by the second TV timeout. They had just dominated that game. You worry about K-State without Dean Wade, and I know they got it done last year, but just I don't know. Did they lose all their luck last year, winning without Dean Wade, having the success that they did?
I was super bullish on K-State to the Sweet 16 when the bracket first came out. I'm like,
Oregon, Wisconsin just is opposite them.
I don't like those teams. I don't like either one of them.
I don't either. Oregon's playing better lately. Dana Almond said it the other day that. You know, they're playing the best of ball they've played all year here in the last few weeks, and they're finally kind of realizing their potential. Like Kansas, they had to figure out the way to go without their big man, Bol Bol, with Oregon.
Well, and then also something was said last night in our player pool draft. Our buddy Tate was looking through it, and he's like, you look at the game logs of the Oregon guys. They were all missing time here. This guy missed these games. He never has been able to get any semblance of the squad. Forget about the fact that Bol Bol will never be back. He's never been able to get a group together and let it play and come together as a team. You know, the way I think we saw Bob Huggins' West Virginia team coming together down the stretch.
Late the season,
and winning some games because he finally knew who the hell it was going to be and everybody knew their role and could settle in and they could be the best version of that they could be. And I mean, maybe that's what's happening with Oregon, and I'm not giving enough credit for Oregon. And so I am nervous about Oregon. UC Irvine, I know, is a popular upset pick. And listen, an upset's happened. Bruce Weber really needs to not let that happen because he's already got some of those.
It's happened. Yeah, it's happened to him before.
You know, he needs to go ahead and push through. He's also he's got one of those, really, I should say.
Just the one, the LaSalle.
He's got one of those.
And that was the LaSalle team that got to the Sweet 16. That was a good team.
And they were a play-in team.
Yes.
And play-in teams are always tough.
Yep.
And so I just really want him to back up his Elite Eight with some wins in the tournament to take away the argument, well, he only had that one tournament run. You take away his Elite Eight year, he hasn't won a game in the NCAA tournament. I want that to go away. And so I think it's really important for him to beat UC Irvine in this game.
So my thought is I like Kansas' chance. I think both are going to win. I like Kansas' chance better in that game, and I like Kansas State's chance better once they get to the second round to beat either Wisconsin or Oregon more than they do Kansas beating Auburn or New Mexico State.
Last Friday, rumors going around started by a tout handicapper, a betting handicapper, and then put out there by NBC Radio, Brandon Lang is the guy who said it, that Bill Self, breaking news, he's going to be the next Bulls coach.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. It's been laughed off, and I don't think he's going to be the next Bulls coach for a lot of reasons. But is it possible? I think a lot of times when you get that, it's now. And Brandon Lang is a nice guy. I've met him. An interesting guy. He's the guy that the movie Two for the Money was about.
Oh, okay.
Matthew McConaughey's character
is
Brandon Lang. Those things I find often are there's some information, there's some smoke, and then they connect the dots and draw the fire, right? Is there possible, do we need to be looking closer at smoke of Bill Self maybe not being happy at Kansas? I bring that up only because when you change athletic directors, when you change presidents, that's when we see coaches change. Roy was staying till Al Bull was his athletic director. Then he was leaving. There's no reason to believe on the surface that there's anything going on between him and Jeff Long. I don't have anything to say that, hey, he's not getting along with him. But I think I'm only doing my job if I don't, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask, how's the relationship going? Because it's about now that we're done with our pleasantries and now we're both working.
Yeah.
And it's a stressful environment that they're both working under with an FBI investigation there. Not to mention a lawsuit now from the former football coach.
Right. Well, I know that Sam Mellinger did his due diligence and called Bill on Monday to Bill refuted it. But to speak to your thoughts on Coach AD dynamic, you're right. The Roy Al Bull thing, they've been the worst relationship in the history of a basketball coach and athletic director. But the other thing that happened was Matt Doherty had imploded the North Carolina basketball program, and even though Roy said he was staying in Lawrence forever, the fact that the Tar Heels had lost 20 games that year, something like that, it was something had to be done. And I think Roy heard the calling there. And Bill Self has he's already been through an AD change, right? He went
right
from Perkins to Shane Zinger and now with Jeff Long. So, but you're not wrong when you say when there's a new athletic director, things change, relationships change. Just look at, just look locally at UMKC. Kareem Richardson's out of a job.
Well, and there's also a similar dynamic to the fact that Al Bull was brought in to fix football.
For sure.
And I think he was somewhat empowered by donors or maybe even a president, around him, like, don't worry about Roy. We'll take care of Roy. You go fix football. And there's kind of this, Roy can't hurt you. Then Roy got sideways. And they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And they fired Al Bull. Jeff Long has been brought in to get football going. And, you know, it's, you know, you mentioned schools that can win at both. You mentioned national championship at both.
Yeah.
But there aren't many schools that can be really good at both. And I just think it's going to be interesting to watch the dynamics because there's this big push and emphasis on the other program, not Bill's.
You know, Duke is actually proving with Cutcliffe, you get the right coaches, you can win enough to satisfy your fan base.
Right.
And you don't have to be a national championship contender every
right.
year. But that's, you know, as long as I've lived here, it's been rare that Kansas has been that.
Yeah, it's just something to look at. It's time to start watching the dynamics of it, especially when you hear rumblings. Blair, always great talking to you. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
Blair Kirkhoff, best in the business for the Kansas City Star, joins us each and every week. We're at Rockin' Brews watching some NCAA tournament basketball.
Burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, among Power 5 conference teams, which one has the most losses in the round of 64? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.